Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
And now, making his way to the ring, it's Glacier. Wait, no, that's Real Snow. Jesus Christ, it's cold. This is Georgia Wrestling Now with your host from the award-winning WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, Mr. Jonathan Williams.
Thank you, Matt Hankins. And speaking of the award-winning WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, or Wrestling With Pop Culture, currently is giving away passes to DirecTV's first original series. There's going to be a screening for the show called Rogue at the Midtown Art Cinema on Wednesday. And two of the stars of the show, Joshua Sass, I guess is how it's pronounced, S-A-S-S-E, and Leah Gibson will both be there for a Q&A afterwards, and they're giving a bunch of stuff away. So go to WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, go over to the right and click on the Rogue movie poster and find out how you can win. But, all done with that. Uh-oh. Let's see. We already have a caller.
Sweet.
Hello. Who is this?
This is Larry Goodman.
I thought it was.
Hey, sweet guy.
Larry Goodman is the guy who gets people to not call this show anymore.
Oh, no. You don't give me the blame or credit for that.
Well, you're the one who told me that the BFFs would not call in again. And Marcus Pistorius, or whatever his name is, he refused to call because you had given him bad press. But that's okay, because there are plenty of other people to talk to.
We got a long list of people we can click off of here.
Yeah.
We can run a lot more folks off.
Well, speaking of Pistorius, I know this is a non-Georgia issue, but it's one that's near and dear to my heart, Nashville wrestling. You know, another shoe dropped within the last week, a second lawsuit filed against Mr. Pistorius. And I don't know if you guys had a chance to hear it, but the Pistorius interview, that the link to that is posted on GWH News, is a very interesting. It's strictly his side of the situation because no questions are really asked. Nothing's really challenged about anything that he says, but it's interesting. He does give his whole take on the whole Crossfire situation, but yes, a second lawsuit has been filed, and from what I understand, there may be more shoes to drop legally for Mr. Pistorius in the days to come. So we shall see.
Wow.
Well, I'm glad we don't have anything like that going on here in Georgia wrestling scene. No,
no
controversy or no.
No, I'm glad every promotion is running just the way I would like. Nobody's in this weird state. Everything's fine here in Georgia.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. So in response to the many things that have been said as of late about Rampage Pro Wrestling, including here on this show last week and Larry's own post on GWHnews.com, and who was the other guy that posted something on there?
Velvet Jones.
Velvet
Jones.
Yes,
and the thread on Velvet's Facebook page is really marvelous reading.
I saw it a few days ago. I haven't been back since probably Saturday, so I'm sure there's much more that has been said. But let's see. On April 8th, 2 weeks from tonight, Josh Wheeler and Murder One are both scheduled to call in, so we're going to...
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
And I invite anyone else who has any opinion or anything to say about what's going on with Rampage to call. And I'm sure that's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming there's still a Rampage by then.
Well, their next show is scheduled to be the following weekend, which is why I scheduled it for that Monday. So we will talk more about that in the coming weeks, for sure.
Oh, we will.
Yes, they did tape 3 hours yesterday, so that'll run them through that next date that you just mentioned. And the only other thing that jumped out at me is they're down to due to budget cuts, using only one camera for the television. They're not using a ringside camera anymore. It's only the hard camera shot. And the other camera, you know, may still be used for backstage and stuff. But as far as like shooting matches, they're shooting with one camera.
Wow.
Well, I watched the most recent episode. It was an improvement from last week's show, I would say. Did you see it, Larry?
Yes, I did. I started jotting down some comments to post about it. I did think, you know, there were a number of things I really liked about the show this week. So, you know, I really am enjoying Nigel Sheridan there. You know, I'm appreciating him more as time goes on there.
Well, he seems like a hint of sarcasm, I guess, and realization of what he's working with.
You could say that.
He's got an excellent partner, though, right? I've heard good things.
I haven't heard any good things.
Just waiting for. You mean the guy from the oil company?
Yeah.
Fortune
guy.
Oil. He's a liaison from Fortune Oil.
They need an influx of cash, it seems.
Well, what did we miss this weekend? Did you go to any wrestling, Matt?
I took the weekend off. I wrestled hard. I went to wrestling hard over the last month, and I laid out. I felt bad, but I laid out this weekend. But I did get caught up on Anarchy from Larry's review. It sounded like it was a pretty good show, Larry.
Yeah, I wish there'd been more people there, but as far as the quality of the show, it was fine, you know. And as hopefully that, you know, as is usually the pattern there, they don't draw well the week before a big show. People know that there's not going to be a whole lot happening and that they'll fill the place up next Saturday night.
Well, that brings us to our guest for tonight. It's an anarchy-heavy show, just by coincidence. But we have Wild Billy Buck, who is Anarchy's current television champion. He'll be calling in just a few minutes. And then later in the show, we have The Vandal, who is one half of the tag team champions there. Both of those titles will be on the line at Hardcore Hell next Saturday. So, should be a good show. Vandal, of course, a veteran of Platinum Championship Wrestling, and I believe he's been getting around at other promotions, but he's definitely made an impact up at Anarchy as of late. And I'm glad to see it.
I don't think anybody saw coming. That one came out of nowhere.
Him and Nogicism defeating Urban Assault Squad for the titles was surprising news when I read it.
They're really proud of those belts. They towed them around a good bit.
As in the video that Nogicism posted on my timeline on Facebook that you're in, Matt?
Yes. Yes. and I can attest, they keep those belts in velvet bags at all times. So they are taking good care of their titles.
Well, guys, it was a pleasure to speak with you. I'm actually supposed to still be working, so I'm going to have to do what I'm supposed to be doing. But I'll try to get back in if I can and listen to the interviews.
All right. Please do.
Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks. Well, Matt, you and I didn't make it to any wrestling over the weekend, but we both went to separate shows of the Acrocats.
We did do that. And it was a lot like an independent wrestling show. I think some of the cats called too many spots.
Yeah.
They got a little confused in the going zone.
They get paid and cheap meat. I was hoping to see some wrestling because, as some people may know, professional wrestling got its start as a circus sideshow act, and I would love to see a cat in a luchador mask and a cage match or something.
I didn't realize it was an eye drum thing, and that dates back to the long time ago for PCW. I was like, oh, they still are around.
Yeah,
they still have a business.
It's not a a building. It's an entity that promotes events at various other buildings. But yeah, that was an interesting show. If anyone is curious about it, I'm going to be interviewing the lady behind it for Wrestling with Pop Culture sometime this week. So it'll probably be posted later this week or next week. And you can go to circuscats.com. But let me see. I believe we've got Billy Buck.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, man. Just living the dream.
Aren't we all?
I hear you.
Well, Billy, as you're heading into hardcore hell, and I was trying to remember that match that you had with Bobby Moore. Was
yeah.
that hardcore hell last year?
It was. It was.
Okay, so you are all too familiar with the brutality that can happen at hardcore hell.
Oh, definitely.
But this year, you're the television champ, and you're defending against Jacoby Boykins. So, what are your thoughts going into that match?
You know, about last Anarchy show, Jacoby, he tried to end my career, and I'm kind of a little ticked off about that because Jeff G. Bailey, you know, of course, they've been getting under the skins of Brody Chase, Slim J, Azrael, myself, the whole Anarchy roster, you know. So Jacoby done something to me, like I said, last couple shows, and it's just not sitting right. So I'm pretty kind of ticked off about it, and he better be prepared because when I come in hardcore hell, you're probably going to see Billy Buck like you've never seen before. So, but like I said, I'm going to do whatever I take, you know, keep this title around my belt. I work 9 years for this thing, and it means the world to me. So I'm going to do whatever it takes, and I'm going to make sure that he knows that he won't ever step in the ring with Billy Buck again.
You have been on quite a little run for yourself. As you said, 9 years in the making, but, I mean, it's been a slow build for you. Was there a turning point where kind of everybody finally got behind you like they are now, or did it just kind of creep up on you?
You know, it was kind of a slow build, and I just kept, you know, just thinking to myself, gosh, I got to do something, but I just mainly just been myself and just went out there and done my thing, and eventually they got behind me, which I'm loving it, and I hope it continues, because, you know, I'm a people person myself, but, I mean, it was just, once they had me, it's like adrenaline rush, you know, once the fans were right there behind me, I'm in drilling mode, and there's, like, nothing you can do, you know.
Now, as folks see you maybe on just the promo poster, they might not know exactly what to expect out of you. Can you talk a little bit about kind of who you patterned yourself after, you know, what influenced you to come up with that style? Because it doesn't necessarily fit your build, but you pull it off pretty well.
Well, you know, I am kind of tired. Everybody sees the cowboy gimmick, you know. Everybody's wearing the black, and I think it's just black and brown or just pure black and stuff like that. And I come up with the idea because I wanted to be different. And I wanted to do something where I got my wild, that's where I come from. And just doing something a little bit different, like, you know, flashy, because everybody knows that I'm a big fan of Shawn Michaels. I'm just, like, fascinated, you know, his gear-wise and stuff. So I try not to imitate his, but trying to come up with my own, but still have that flashiness. So you still don't see the regular cowboy gimmick, I guess you would say. But other than that, man, it's just I've done it from the 9 years, and it's just taken off for me, so I'm enjoying it.
Now, one thing you've got down pat is that super kick. I mean, it is artistry when you snap it off. And, again, you know, kind of coming from your build, you might not see it coming. Has that always been a finisher you've used, or is that something you adopted more a little bit recently?
I adopted it recently. You know, I started using it back in Wildside days. I think I used it for my very first match. I was wrestling Randall Johnson. I don't remember if y'all remember this guy. But, yeah, as soon as I nailed it out of nowhere, and this dude just, like, his whole face just started blood coming down, and I was like, man, I'm going to start using it, and hopefully that can take me up, you know. But I used to do it with a little finisher that I came up with myself, and it just wasn't devastating enough. So after I just, that day that me and Randall wrestled on a Friday night at Wildside, it stuck with me ever since.
Now, you mentioned Wildside there, and I've only heard stories about the Wildside days. I didn't actually get to see any of them firsthand. How is it different now than it was when it was called Wildside?
You know, I think it's anarchy is, a lot of people don't, you know, they might disagree with me or they'll agree with me, but I think anarchy is kind of the same mentality of Wildside, as far as you got people who are just driving to be the best in the independent level, and they are constantly trying to come up with new stuff. I think, you know, Slim and Azrael are the best, the masters of it, coming up with constantly new moves and stuff like that, and I see a lot to my perspective of anarchy and Wildside. It's getting to be like that back in the day with Wildside was, and I guess that's where I'm comfortable at, because, you know, I love Wildside and anarchy. I love it as well, so I mean that's home to me.
Well, you mentioned how long you've been working there. Have you ever, you know, you're pretty much known as an anarchy and a Wildside guy. Do you ever work other promotions at all?
You know, I went around to APW up there in Royston, Georgia. I've done little shows up in North Carolina, Forest City, MPCW. I don't know if they're still running. But right now, lately, just my home is just doing the anarchy. So that's pretty much where I'm doing right now.
One thing anarchy's always excelled at is they don't just put people in matches to be putting in matches. You know, usually most things are involved in a feud or setting up a feud or getting a feud together. What are some of the feuds that you've had that kind of got you where you are?
Let's see. I had some good ones. One of my favorites that I've always had would have been with Todd Sexton. I want to say that's actually one of my first feuds I had. Coming in the Wildside, and it built up. We had several brutal matches, but it was one of my favorites was what had to be in, it's called a bunkhouse match, and it was, my partner was at the time, Silo Storm, and it was Todd, and I think his partner was Dez Ugly. And that was one of my favorite feuds. And then at Wildside, and then coming to Anarchy, you know, we had some feuds with the JT Talent and Pendleton, you know, and New Wave, and then at the time of the Technicians, we were doing angles for the tag belts. And, it led up being to a four-way ladder match dance at Hardcore Hell. And that was one of my second best favorite feuds of all, because, you know, we actually got in there, and a lot of people, you know, we just done what we done, entertained, and luckily we won that night. And then I guess my next one would be, believe it or not, Bobby Moore. You know, last year at Hardcore Hell, we had a no disqualification match, and it was very brutal, if y'all remember that at all.
Yeah, I thought it was a great match.
Yeah.
And the brick inside the Barney doll was... just, that was genius.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, I give him credit. You know, Bobby Moore is pretty, you know, he is devastating. So I had to pull some new stuff out just to win. But, you know, I give him credit where credit's due. But that was one of my few favorite. And then, of course, you know, recently, Bo Newsom, where I won the Anarchy television title. You know, Bo Newsom is a, he, you know, from coming in from when I first saw him, I wouldn't think he was nothing to mess with. But, you know, this guy, he has stepped up a lot, and he kind of took me to the limit several times. So, but that was my last feud, and I really enjoyed about that with Bo. You know, of course, I'm the television champ. Sorry, Bo Newsom, but, you know, it happens.
Watching that match last year with you and Bobby at Hardcore Hell, that was the first time, you know, I'd seen you and both you and Bobby in matches. You've always been good, but that one was impressive. Did you come away feeling like, you know, y'all kind of had stole the show, because that really was basically what happened?
You know, I would agree with you. You know, I'm not the type of person that likes to toot his own horn, I guess you would say. But, yeah, that kind of set a standpoint for both of us. We walked away a little bit more than what we were with people. A lot more respect, I'll put it that way. So, yeah, that helped us a little bit, a lot.
Had you been in a lot of matches that are that brutal?
Yeah, not a lot. You know, I was in an APW that was they had their own little war games at the time. We were, you know, we come off top there, and that was pretty brutal. It was me and at the time Shadow Jackson and Anthony Henry and Sugar Duncan. So, and then we were going to teams with Jeremy Vane, Strychnine, Chaos, and Brandon Parker. And that was kind of a brutal match for me, because that was my first time being in a cage. So, and then coming to Anarchy, you know, the Bunkhouse match with Todd and them, and then, of course, the four-way ladder match at Hardcore Hell really set us off, and then Bobby Moore. So, yeah, I mean, it really had my whole brutal matches has been Anarchy, except for that one time.
Anytime we talk to a guy who's been around Wildside, been around Anarchy, you know, you always start listing off a lot of guys that just aren't there anymore or may not be in the area anymore. What is it that's kept you right there where you are?
You know, believe it or not, even though he's out and hurt, real, you know, with his leg and stuff, I took a lot of knowledge, and I watched his matches from Michael Judas. And, you know, I took him to the limit, which was one of my favorite matches. You know, I didn't get the upper hand, but, you know, he's a big guy. What can I say? But by sitting there and just watching his technique and how he handles himself in the ring, you know, he's a monster, and I try to be quicker with that, because last time we stepped in the ring, and, you know, I try to overcome it as quickness-wise, and it worked for a while, but hey, he's a brutal monster. But by just watching his knowledge and Brody Chase, you know, watching him and just how he does his own thing in the ring, and I try to just I'm like a, which I'm just a fat kid in a candy store. I'm eating it all up. So,
where do you see things going after Hardcore Hell? Of course, this is yet again, it seems like the fate of the company is in, you know, determined by the main event. But a lot of the undercard matches feature titles that are not necessarily or not held by members of Elite. So, you know, depending on how everything turns out in all those matches, where do you see things going with Anarchy?
Well, you know, I'm gonna be right beside my boys all the time, Brody Chase, Slim, Nadril, and Iceberg. You know, I know that I have a lot of faith in them, so they're gonna do their thing, and I'm not too much. You know, I feel bad for the Elite, you know, but so after the Hardcore Hell, I'm hoping that Anarchy's going to stay strong, and we just going to run it like we've been doing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, well, who would you like to, you know, assuming you are victorious this weekend against Jacoby Boykins, who do you think should be in line for a shot at your title next?
You know, believe it or not, I kind of want to see if I really want to put myself to the test, because I'm going to do that Saturday. I mean, don't get me wrong, because Jacoby's got something coming that he's not going to expect. And after I'm victorious, I would like to see I would like to really see Shadow Jackson. Believe it or not, I know he's with Nemesis and stuff, but, you know, I ain't Shadow Jackson. I think he's one of a heck of a guy. He's very dangerous, and I could see he's one person I haven't took to the limit yet. So that'd be something that I would like to accomplish, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you get a chance to get in there with Shadow, how do you keep a straight face when he goes into some of the antics that he goes into?
I go in there like it's like I said, I mean, when I step in the ring, my face is where, if you're going to be whatever you are, I'm going to keep my straight face because I'm there to win. You know what I mean?
You're a better man than I am because I couldn't hold it together. He gets into some of that stuff and I can't stop laughing at it. Now, Jacoby's another guy that may be sitting kind of where you were for last year's Hardcore Hell, that's one match away, you know, one stellar match away from kind of taking that next step. How do you combat against somebody that hungry?
You know, I sit there, and I admit, Jacoby has come a long way. He has stepped up his game. I mean, he is strong as an ox. That sucker can just, I mean, he can bench a match truck. So, I mean, I definitely have to really be quicker and smarter than he is. So, as far as him coming at me like that, I'm going to have to, like I said, I'm going to show him a little thing or two, and because I think I got some more experience than him I hope I can use this Saturday. So.
And, of course, he is aligned with the Elite, so there's always that factor. Do you expect any outside interference, or do you think it'll be a down-the-middle kind of match?
Oh, of course. Of course. I know Jeff G. Bailey's got something up his hand. I just got to be the smarter one and try to catch him before he catches me, you know. That's the thing about Jeff G. Bailey. I mean, he's they don't call him the best manager of all times and the independent level for nothing, you know what I mean?
I would agree with that. Is there any particular stipulation on the match?
You know, I think it's going to be, if I ain't mistaken, it's just going to be where I'm going to go in there and I'm going to beat him, and that'll be the stipulation in my point.
The stipulation is 3 count and I go home.
That's exactly right. No.
Well, the man that strong, it might take a couple super kicks to put him down, because you are not kidding when you talk about how strong Jacoby Borkins is.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty stout. So like I said, I mean, I'm hoping to be a little bit smarter and more experienced and a little bit quicker than he can. So, but man, like all I can say is that, you know, just watch it this coming Saturday, and I'm going to put him, like I said, I'm going to show some stuff that he ain't never seen before. So.
Well, it sounds like you are definitely ready to counter or maybe be preemptive in whatever Jeff G. Bailey and everybody else might have planned for you. So, I'm not going to ask you to reveal your secrets, but I do wish you luck, and I appreciate you calling. I believe this is the first time we've talked to you on the show, which is a rarity at this point.
Yeah, it is. I was excited. I appreciate y'all having me.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, and good luck on Saturday.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right. You too.
Bye.
Guess we will take another take a commercial break. And when we come back, we'll be talking to the Vandal, who I believe is someone else we've never talked to on this show.
Not in my run.
All right. Well, we're setting records or something tonight. But all right, we'll be back in 2 minutes and 44 seconds.
Wrestling fans, Anarchy Wrestling television tapings are the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at 4236 Level Grove Road in Cornelia, Georgia. For more information on Anarchy Wrestling and on the shows, to watch the television product and a whole lot more, go to anarchy-wrestling.net. That's Anarchy Wrestling, the second and fourth Saturdays of every month in Cornelia, Georgia.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Whether you're having an autograph session, personal appearance, or live event, we got just the person you need to contact for all of those needs. SBI Bookings is home of some of the best stars in the wrestling industry today. They provide you with the best talent this business has to offer, from Kevin Nash, Larry Zbysko, Scott Steiner, and many, many more. So who will you contact next time you're planning an event? The men of SBI Bookings. Check them out at sbibookings.com.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first party you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams of WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins. And we are now being joined by one half of the Anarchy Tag Team Champions, the Rogue Graffiti Maverick, the Vandal.
Hey, hey, what's going on?
Not much. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Doing just fine. We were talking earlier about how it was a bit of a surprise when we found out you and Nogicism had become the Anarchy Tag Team Champions. So tell us a little bit about what that that journey has been like.
Well, you know, I started going up to Anarchy probably like a year ago, something like that, you know. And was just, I don't know, just trying to do your thing and trying to, you know, make my own path out there and make my own way. But, you know, it wasn't working out like, you know, you would want to. And Naja came up there, and we had our little brief little battles or whatever. But, you know, two great minds came together, and we just, you know, let's join forces and let's get it done. And that's what happened. And that's history right now.
Well, of course, you and Nogicism have known each other for quite a while from PCW and your opponents this Saturday at Hardcore Hell. The Washington Bullets are also PCW veterans, so what is that? What do you think that adds? What kind of dynamic does that add to the match?
Well, I mean, me personally, you know, speaking from on my behalf, like I know, like it's always been the Bullets. Like, kind of, I'm always looking at them. I'm seeing them go everywhere. I'm seeing them win all the titles and get all the accolades and tag team season and stuff. So, I mean, for me personally, to have that role reversed and now we holding the titles and now we're in control of things. It kind of puts a different spin on it, but I, still, like, we know each other well, and I'm not even worried about it. I know that they've been showing some kind of new persona, or they're being bad boys or whatever that is, but decided they will settle things in the ring, and maybe once and for all, or maybe we'll get in there and do it again. But let's see what happens.
Like you mentioned, there were some lean times for you at Anarchy before, you know, this kind of got rolling. What was your frustration level like? Because, you know, I saw a lot of those shows when you were just trying to break into that place and you didn't exactly know where you fit. And it was rough. You know, it was rough watching it because I could, you know, you can tell when somebody's not just clicking with the crowd. What happened to make it different and how frustrated were you to get to that point?
Well, you know, it was When I was going there, it was a rough period in wrestling for me, period. You know, there was a lot of changes going on, a lot of things moving and shaking in different ways. But, I mean, I don't know, maybe it was just an attitude shift, if you say that. It was just a change of attitude. You know, I was going in there, my first couple of deals out there, I was going in there with me against the world attitude, you know. But, you know, talked to the right people, you know, got a few different voices in my head and changed that around and things worked differently, you know.
Has there been anyone in particular up at Anarchy that's helped you, maybe just given you advice on how to get some of the people in the crowd behind you or showing you how to do, you know, with maybe a different style that Anarchy fans are more used to, or have you just kind of learned it all on your own?
Well, no, you know, it took a while, but, you know, eventually, you know, the guys up there, they accepted me and took me in. You know, of course, you know, me and Seth DeLay, we had our battles back in PCW, and, you know, that was kind of like a, you know, he really shed some light on some things and mentored me and helped me out and showed me things. And, of course, you got Brody Ray Chase up there, you know, he's a real cool dude, he helped me out. And there's everybody, the whole locker room up there, you know, they really took to us, you know, and, you know, we won the titles and everybody's happy. Well, you know, almost everybody, but, yeah, but, you know, it was a good deal, you know, and I really think like they took to us and, you know, it felt good.
Now, right as you and Naja hook up, you just got it going, and I'll be damned if somebody doesn't come up with a name that is already being used by another tag team in the I will assume they had it first, but I will also assume you had no clue who they were. Is that a true statement?
Yeah, that's true. I own up to it. I actually came up with the name, you know, and I came up with the name. And yeah, I think somebody might have said something about it, but I mean, the way I look at it like this, it eventually time is gonna tell and dictate who's gonna. You know what I'm saying? It's either going to be one or the other. It's not going to be, well, they're both. And people are not going to be confused as to which, who is who, you know? But, I mean, right. Like I said, we issued our challenge. We put our video out there, and I think they wrote, like, a Facebook comment or something. So, in my view, that don't count. So, they're going to come there and come a little bit harder. But and if we want to settle it in the ring, we can settle it in the ring, you know? There's no problem with me, you know? I'll travel somewhere, you know? Or you can have to earn your stripes and earn your way into Anarchy. But if they want to settle it, we can settle it. We can do that.
And if I remember right, both teams won the titles they hold right now on the same night. To get any harder.
Hey, maybe it's fate. Like I said, I don't know.
Maybe it's just cosmic booking.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, y'all might be on this path to get together.
It might happen. Hey, I don't know when or where, but hey, if they want to go down, anybody's listening, you want to make it happen, make it happen. And all I can say is we're going to bring the W. That's all I'm saying.
Who is the other movement? I guess I missed something.
Ah, man. You know the name, Matt?
You will have to excuse me for not remembering their names right now. I've seen them. They're not bad. I'm not knocking them in any way. They're not a bad tag team. I was actually there the night in Blue Ridge when they won the IWF tag titles. They're a good team. I just cannot remember their individual names at the moment.
And there you go, right there. That's the whole argument.
Where did they win the titles? Was that at a Deep Southern Championship wrestling?
Yeah, it was that tag tournament that DSCW had.
Oh, okay.
Month and a half ago now.
Okay.
They won that tournament by beating the Washington Bullets, oddly enough.
Yes, the plot is going very. Hey, we got another episode coming out, and the plot is going very much thick. And just off that very point you just made. So,
I don't care.
Yes.
Anybody says I will not be Harlem shaking in this video. No matter what. Speaking of which, not to reveal too much, anything you want to talk about maybe what we were doing that day?
we could talk a little bit about it. I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe it took the internet by storm this weekend. I don't know. But, yeah, it's a big, big project coming up, man, and I'm lucky enough to be involved with it. You know, they contacted me and a few other people, and it's going to be going down. It's going to be big for Crushing Pro. Hey, it's when is that? That's April 26th, I believe.
26th, I believe I read somewhere. Is there a location locked down yet?
Yes, it is, and I do not know the address. I know it's going to be in a. I do not know the address. It's going to be in. It's in Atlanta. It's in the perimeter. I can tell you that much. But I think they're going to be releasing some more information on matches and all that stuff and all the particulars coming up real soon. But, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's going to be good stuff, real good stuff.
Okay. Well, we will definitely follow up on all that sometime in the next couple weeks, because Narcissism has certainly been making me aware of it on Twitter and Facebook.
Of course.
Anywhere else that he possibly could.
Now, in that period where, you know, we used to see you every Friday night and enjoyed seeing you every Friday night, but not to go down a bad road, but there was a time where we didn't see you anywhere around here and you were kind of doing your thing in Anarchy, but where else were you during that time?
Well, I traveled a few places. You know, I went out to Pro South for a little bit and did a few things. But, I mean, I ain't going to really hit on a lot of stuff that went on, but I will say this, it'll kind of put it in perspective. Around that time, I made up my point that, hey, I'm not making enough money to be anywhere where I'm not going to be upset. You know, it's not going to be a job for me. I'm not going to go there and not have fun. You know, so that's what that was about, and that's why I kind of trimmed down the dates and said, you know what, maybe working every single place ain't for me. You know, maybe I'm going to pick my spots and do good shows, because me personally, I'm going to give 110% wherever I go. I'm going to do whatever I do to help the show and get my name and everyone get a piece of cake, like the Washington Bullets, like they like to say now. They like to say, well, getting cake or baking cake or something like that. But that's what I'm going to do. And if I don't feel that same, you know, give and connection with wherever I'm working, it's just ain't going to work. And that's no disrespect to any place I've been or any place that wants to book me. I'm just letting you know, you're going to get 110%. So all I want is a little help, you know. That's all I'm saying.
Well, where else are you currently working? Anywhere other than Anarchy?
No, we doing Anarchy. I just got a few dates in Orlando lined up. I think I'm gonna ride down with him, see what's going on. I think he's doing Manor Pro Wrestling down there, Manor Wrestling or something like that. Anarchy, we got Progression Pro doing that, and. We'll see what happens, man. I think I got a few stuff lined up, a few people I want to talk to, a few people trying to talk to me, and we might do it. But like I said, I like to think that Zara's a little exclusive. You know, I ain't trying to be all everywhere, and you can just see me in mom and pop zone. You know, it's an experience, you know what I'm saying?
Now, have you been the Vandal your whole career?
Yeah, technically.
Oh, technically. Oh, wait a minute.
Sounds like there's
one in there.
I've been Vandal. I mean, you know, I ain't gonna go into all that, man. Let's go in line the curtain or whatever. But yeah, I've been, you know, Vandal since day one.
And has the character evolved a lot, or are you pretty much, I know you've gotten better, but you know, as far as the core character, have you tried to expand on it or make it a little different? Kind of as you went around.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think that's what I like about me and Vandal. You know, that's what I enjoy, because I can evolve. You know, back when I first started, I was just kind of like wearing a bunch of old clothes and saying I was a graffiti artist. And now it's not even more about the graffiti aspect. It's just more, you know, this is Vandal, and this is, you know, I'm just trying to be myself. Back then, it was more like, I don't want to say posing or wanting to be something that, I mean, not even that I wasn't. But, you know, now it's just me, and I'm trying to show that, you know, look, I believe I'm the coolest person on earth. That's just what I believe. You know what I'm saying? So everyone else sees this too. Like, I'm not going to go around and be angry and do all this other stuff, which I can be. But I'm not going to put on that front 100% of the time. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to have a good time, and we're going to light it up, and we're going to have a good show. But if you cross me, like the Bullets are trying to do, if you're trying to cross me, then that's a whole other episode that we don't want to get in. No.
Vandal, the Urban Assault Squad, of course, is involved in the main event this Saturday. But I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think they ever got a rematch for the titles after you guys won, or did they?
No. No, I think they're preoccupied right now. and I had no complaints. Hey, for real, yeah, man. Them dudes, man, it's not a fun night whenever, you know, you got them lined up. But, I mean, but on the real, though, man, we're welcome to a rematch at any time. You know, we'll take it to them and we'll beat them again. But like I said, they're preoccupied right now, man. That thing is getting heated. Getting heated. And then they're going to be in the War Games cage and all that, man. No, no. I think they got other stuff to worry about.
Well, that is sort of a place where you guys don't have to worry about anything. Sort of everybody else who's opposed the Elite or won a title there has kind of been caught up in that big Elite versus, you know, sort of the anarchy, save the company kind of story that's going on. Are you guys glad to be out of that you can focus on other things?
Well, right now our focus is specifically, you know, holding those titles and making them as much as they can be. Now, this is my first time I've ever held. Like, I'm sitting here looking at it right now. This is the first time that's ever happened to me, you know. So that's what's first and foremost. But don't get me wrong, because I remember the night after we won, you know, you got Seven and Gita rolling, and they, super swole, I'm not going to curse, but, you know, they're coming down and trying to, you know, put boots to us and throw us around or whatever. So that might get dealt with in the future. But like I said, right now, you know, we're taking care of these titles.
And I haven't had a chance to see the match where you won the titles. Can you talk us through how the match went? What did you have to do to finally get up? Because, I mean, like you said, it's Urban Assault Squad. They've done it 1,000 times there.
Yeah,
They're brutal as all hell. How did you get around it?
Well, I mean, I like to think, you know, we persevere, you know. We strong like that. But, I mean, a big turning point in that match, and, you know, I'm going to take any help I can get. You know, you guys know me. You know, I bend the rules if I have to. But like I said, Brody Chase, man, he didn't even do anything, I don't believe. I think he just came to the ring and just started watching. You know, them guys, man, they got all mad or whatever. And that ties back into that main event on Saturday. But, yeah, he came through, and they just got distracted for a split second. And that's all it needs. That's all it takes.
Now, you've always been a guy who's gotten, as you were kind of coming up, getting better, you got some criticism around from here and there. You know, you were too small, you were too this, you were too that. And one thing I remember in particular, as you kind of mentioned earlier about your gear, was the esteem contributor to this show, Larry Goodman, was pretty rough on you about your gear. How did you take that?
I would like to add, Duke Corey has mentioned to me a few times the belt buckle that you used to wear was too big and too dangerous.
That all ties back into me growing. It all ties back into me kind of doing what I want to do. Because, I mean, I had talks, and, you know, don't get me wrong, I got something special in the works. It's something special. It's a little Georgia Wrestling Now treat from the Vandal. You know, it's something special working on. But, like I said, it was a point where, you know, I cared about a lot what people said. And then that point came and it went. And then it was just kind of like, you know what, I'm doing this and I'm having fun and I'm doing me. And if I want to go out there and some Crocs and a toga, I'll go out there and do it. And you know what, I'm still going to get the W. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, man, I appreciate the criticism. I hear you. You know, if it's valid, you know, okay. But, you know, I'm going to do what I want. That's the Vandal. That's what he is. I'm sorry.
Do you try to strike a balance between, you know, being you, doing what you want to do, and not getting the reputation as a guy with a bad attitude who won't listen to somebody who's trying to give you positive criticism versus, you know, somebody who will listen?
Well, I try to think that I'm not a bad guy or an arrogant dude. Well, I don't take that back. I'm a confident dude. But, yeah, I don't want to, you know, I understand. I hear what they're saying, and I understand, like, yo, especially when it comes to gear, like, that's kind of, that's it, you know. It's a specific, you know, it's the indie guys, and then it's guys that look like they're ready for the next level. I understand that. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, I'm a different person, man. I'm a different person. And, like, it's one thing for me to go out and dress what I want to dress and what I want to wear, and then you can say, you know, as long as you're thinking, you know, hey, that guy Vandal, man, he doesn't wear any gear. You know what I'm saying? But if I pull out something crazy like that Spinner Figure 4, and you're like, man, that was really cool, you're going to remember the Figure 4, you're going to remember the fact that I was wrestling in my Dickies. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, it comes back. It comes back. I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. I see you. And like I said, we're working on that, you know, because I'm trying to get something that's really me, but it's something that can be like appeal to the masses, if you will. You know what I'm saying?
You mentioned earlier having Seth Delay, which was that big, I guess at that time was probably the Vandal Invitational, because you had you had beaten Phantom and what had been called the Phantom Invitational before that. Those, I guess they all went to distance. Those 14 matches seemed to mark a little bit of a turning point from, you know, where you started out to where you got to. Did you realize that then, or looking back on it, do you think, hey, that is kind of where things started turning around for?
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean specifically turn around for me in my wrestling career, in my ability, or what do you mean by that?
Yeah, just in what you would do on a nightly basis in the ring.
Huh.
Just strictly from, you know, going from a guy who had been in a tag team and then kind of, you know, you feuded with De La Vega for a little while, and you didn't exactly have, nobody looked at you as a wrestler first.
Yeah.
And I think that changed after those matches.
Well, yeah, I got to credit Phantom and Seth Delay for that, man, because especially with Phantom, you can't game plan with Phantom, you know, you don't, it's no planning, it's just you doing, you know, you don't think about it, because he might just snap and, I don't know, chew off the turnbuckle and spit it at you, you don't know what that guy, you know, and that's a credit to him, you know, because you can't plan, it was no, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and then we do it, and then with Seth Delay, you know, he's traveled all over the world, and did his thing in ROH and FIP and all these other places, you know, that kind of forces you to think on a whole other level as well, because that's a guy that's a guy that was above me, you know, still is, you know, and you got to force your brain to think like that, you know. So, I'm still a work in progress, you know. I don't ever claim to be an awesome wrestler. I mean, I would claim to be an awesome personality, but I don't claim to be the best wrestler on earth, and it's a work in progress, and we're getting better, and I'm watching my tape, and we're doing all the things, and we're trying to do it big.
When Phantom puts on the cowboy boots, you better have it strapped on tight. That's when you know he's in a mood.
You know, weird piece of trivia. I believe the first Phantom Invitational was with Narcissism, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was awesome, too.
It was. And that goes all the way back to iDrum. Everything's coming full circle tonight.
It's all coming together. I don't know why you don't still carry that trophy around from the first Platinum Invitation that you won. Because that is a night I will never forget.
It's still at Academy Theater. I saw it last time I was there for...
That is the one. The image of the night was him holding the trophy out of the curtain as everybody left.
No, here's the story for that one. Here's the funny one. I just grabbed something because I wanted to have something to hold. I mean, I think that was like some kind of big deal award or something like that for the theater. And they actually got mad at me. They got mad at me for just grabbing it. And then they said I couldn't do it anymore. So it just disappeared. I don't know where it went. It was like a Peabody or an Emmy or something like that. I just grabbed it and went out there.
So, a lot went on that night. There wasn't that many people who saw it, but a lot went on. That was the night Ashy was born.
So it's weird too. So much happened that night, and I was at. There were two PCW shows the same night. I was told by everyone, if you want to see a real PCW show, go to the one at the high school. So I went to the high school one. But it sounds like everything that I really should have seen happened at Academy Theater that night.
Yeah. It's something behind that one too. But I ain't gonna touch that one. But yeah.
That led to a lot of powder. A lot of powder.
Yeah, but that was a launching point, man. I'm happy. That's something I'll never forget, ever. You know?
I don't care where you go or what you do. I don't know that you'll ever duplicate the powder entrance.
I don't know if anybody will let me duplicate that. They'll let y'all duplicate that.
I definitely can't see the Anarchy crowd blowing baby powder at you and chanting Ashy, but... They've been known to do similar things, so maybe.
Yeah, who knows? I might have another change of attitude, and you never know what might happen up there. But, you know, it could be positive over here.
That crowd is very different from other places that you've been.
Yeah.
Did you think about how am I going to get these people behind me, or was it just, I got to go do me and let what happens happen?
Well, at first when I went down there, and, you know, those people have been going to that place for, like, years, you know, and it don't matter who you are, if they don't know you, you're going to have to earn it, you know, you're going to have to show and prove. And at first I went down there just thinking, all right, I'm going to go out there and be vandal. I'm going to yell at somebody, I'm going to call this guy fat, and then they're going to hate me. You know, but that ain't going to happen. You know, they're like a weird mixture between, you know, a country, you know, they have two different types of crowds or whatever. They're that weird mix between the two, you know. So I went out there and was like, okay. So, matter of fact, I talked to Billy Buck, I talked to him that one of those nights. I was like, man, why do these people love you? You know, because they go crazy. They had a little pistols and they'd be shooting the Billy Buck and throwing up hands.
They got their horses. They got it all.
They love that guy. And I asked him, I was like, man, so what do you do? What have you done? He's like, man, I've just been here. I've just been working. I've just been showing off. I've been putting in the time, and they give me what, you know what I'm saying? They gave it back to him. He gave them the effort. He gave them the love, and that's what they got back. And hopefully that's what they're seeing from me now. You know, because I'm going down there, I'm every show, you know what I'm saying, and I'm working hard for them, and they enjoy it, and they appreciate it.
I think Larry Goodman has a question for you.
All right.
Why'd you cut your hair?
Cut my hair because life happened, man. I got to get a job. I got to graduate.
Hey, if you have an attitude change, Anarchy, there may be some powder after all.
Yeah. But nah. Yeah, I I don't know what was going on with my hair for a while. That was another moment. I just didn't care. I just stopped caring. But yeah, I had to cut it, man. I had to go to some job interviews and talk to some important people. I can't just roll up in the office with the weird box mohawk thing going on.
No, that probably wouldn't work. I think I get your point about that.
Yeah. But it's good to talk to you, Mr. Goodman. I don't think we have ever spoken. I might have seen you and shook your hand one or two times, but yeah, this is cool.
It's a pleasure to speak with you too.
Yes, sir.
So have you retired the NWA shirt? Has that been put on
Man,
the shelf?
That's in my bag every night. Every night. No. Let me tell you what happened. I had on the shirt at Anarchy, and this was back when they were the NWA. And it was like I had on the shirt and I was going to do my shoot for, you know, the posters and stuff. And Bill Barons was like, he said something. It was something funny. It's probably something I shouldn't even repeat. It's not a knock on Bill Barons, but yeah, he said something about NWA. And I was like, yeah, I forgot this is NWA Anarchy, so I just kind of don't wear it.
But at any given time, it's always there ready to go.
It's always there. I got all that stuff in there, man. I still have all my old gear. A little known fact, I can't even fit in, you know, the little shirts I used to wear? I can't even fit into those anymore. It's hard to tell. I got to get in the gym some more and work out.
Well, Vandal, we've run out of time, but I appreciate you calling and looking forward to seeing what happens this Saturday for sure.
Yes. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, thanks for calling, and thanks for letting us know about the Progression Pro stuff, too. Like I said, we'll follow up with that in the next few weeks.
All right. All right, y'all take it easy.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Larry, you still there?
Yes.
Did you have anything in particular you want to mention about any upcoming shows?
Well, I mean, you think you pretty well covered it. Hardcore Hell. That's the big one coming up. That's next Saturday night.
There are some other ones.
Deep
Southern, DSCW, has a show this Saturday as well, I believe.
I believe they may be on Friday.
Okay.
Weekend. I think they're moving around for Easter. I guess when your show is primarily at a church, you kind of have to bend to the high holidays. But, yeah, I think they're on Friday. But it is a loaded show.
Yeah, that looks like a good card.
Yeah, and then Pro Wrestling Resurrection is every Friday, but this one in particular, Matt Sexcells is challenging Rick Michaels for the PWR title. So that sounds like an interesting show. Saturday, there's Georgia All-Star Wrestling, which has Bobby Hayes versus this strong psycho tank. I forget the, what is his name, Larry?
The Strong Style Psycho?
Strong Style Psycho Tank, yeah. That's the main event. Bobby Moore is going to be there. Nina Monet. The Georgia Blues Brothers. I don't know who they are, but they're prominently featured on the poster.
Jonathan, where's that show taking place?
That one is
I've looked at that
Calhoun National Guard Armory.
Ah!
And also on Saturday, Southern Style Pro Wrestling is doing an event called Wrestling for Warriors, which features Buff Bagwell, Johnny Swinger, Jimmy Rave, Chase Stevens, Terry Lawler, Rock and Roll Express, Raven, Rick Steiner. Lots of big names on that one. That's a Saturday at the Northwest Georgia Trade and Convention Center. So, Anarchy Hardcore Hell's not the only big show, but it's the only one that we were able to get anyone to call in about. So, but next Monday...
It is a stalwart, though. You can set your clocks around Hardcore Hell.
Yeah. Next Monday, we're going to have Bull Buchanan, who I believe is still the Universal Independent Wrestling Champion. Is he not, Matt?
He absolutely is.
Okay. So they've got a show coming up the following weekend. And we're also going to talk to Wild Child Joey Kidman and hopefully his tag team partner, Zach Daniels, who will be part of the next Peach State show. So that's next week. But unless either of you has anything else, I believe we're done for the night.
I think we've covered our ground.
Works for me.
Well, thanks for calling in, Larry, and thanks to our guests tonight. We'll be back next Monday at 7.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.